You may call me Albemarle. Your family has proven to be a friend to mine. I see no reason to keep such formality between us.
I thank you.
I agree, said Lord Charles. I am exceedingly appreciative of Miss Montfort's actions in the park. My nieces might have been lost to us without her intervention.
Jane waved her hand. Pray, I do not deserve such praise. I was pleased to be of aid to them.
The Duke held out his arm towards the front door. Shall we go?
As soon as she stepped out into the cool air, she lifted her head, much in the manner that Lizzie always had. Now that she was the only Montfort cousin not wed, she led a certain solitary life and had learnt to appreciate many of Lizzie's quirks. Jane was not necessarily lonely, but living under the same roof as two happy couples tended to leave one to their own devices at times.
Miss Montfort, perhaps you would prefer to ride with us. With your grandmother or grandfather, of course.
Lord Charles shot a crooked grin at his brother as he spoke.
With it being just the two of us, we shall have the room.
Her grandmother lifted her eyebrows.
Hugh, you should accompany Janie.
Come, Janie, said Grandpapa. Let us see how well sprung the carriage of a duke is.
Her grandfather accompanied them, while Nicholas and Fiona stepped toward the equipage with the Richmond crest along with Grandmama. As soon as they were seated in the Duke's coach, she glanced around. The insides were not much different than her grandfather's, although the fabric on the seats was plusher and they were more cushioned.
Not a great deal different.
Not at all, my dear, he said.
There, we shall be a very merry party on the ride, said Lord Charles.
The Duke entered, and once he was settled, rapped his walking stick on the ceiling. Jane situated her reticule upon her lap.
I hope your daughters are well since their ordeal. Have you discovered what happened to your servants?
Both the Duke's and his brother's expressions altered. The younger's lips flattened together while the Duke shifted in his seat.
The girl's governess was found after we returned home. She was beaten badly and left in a cluster of trees. We have yet to find the footman.
His brother cleared his throat.
We are particularly concerned one of the two may have been part of the scheme.
Not both?
Asked her grandfather.
One is quite devoted to my brother, who paid for a physician to attend the young man's mother, as well as gave her a position at his estate. His sister is also a maid at Albemarle House, and just as loyal. We both consider it unlikely he was part of it, so we are more than a little concerned for why he has not reappeared.
She pressed her hand to her chest. I can imagine. He has no reason to defy you. I am grieved indeed to discover this was more than a simple misunderstanding.
Sutton and Matthew were wise to rush your return to Richmond House.
Grandfather spoke in low tones, yet not so soft the Duke and his brother would not hear them.
They were wise indeed, said the Duke.
The response to Jane's question seemed to hang like a pall over the group until their coach approached the theatre. The gentleman alighted, and when she made to step down, the proffered hand did not belong to her grandfather, but to the Duke.
Your grandfather is helping your grandmother.
Jane accepted the gloved hand, her insides a quivering mess. Once both of her feet were upon the firm surface of the road, she rested her hand upon the Duke's arm, which he had held out for her to take. What if he could discern the trembling of her hand upon his sleeve? How mortifying would that be?